If you have your Bibles tonight, let's go to the book of Romans, chapter number 15, as we continue our series on striving together. We're in lesson number 5 tonight, beginning it, striving in prayer. Striving in prayer. Brother Randall, you need to be here on the 22nd. I could hear you singing. Praise the Lord. You like those Christmas carols, eh? Yeah. I could hear you up here, and we need you out there on the 22nd. Okay, mark it down. Amen. Good. Glad to hear it. All right, Romans chapter 15, striving in prayer. And I just like the whole idea of this series that we're working through, and that's the word striving. Striving together. Not strifing. Striving. Striving, a big change in words, isn't it? It's striving together. And that's how the church ought to be. Striving together. Everyone, like we learned this morning, all different testimonies, all different stories, but bringing them together to the honor and glory of God. And only God could do something like that. Well, tonight we're going to learn and begin to learn from Paul's letter to the Roman Christians about what God has to say about striving together in prayer. One of the things that has been such a blessing over these 20 plus years is how God has advanced us in this area of prayer. And, you know, we're not where we need to be in prayer. I'm not saying that, but I do believe we've seen God advance us over these last 20 years in the importance of prayer. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica that we should pray without ceasing. I don't think that means that we pray all of the time in the sense of just constantly praying out loud, but we can be in an attitude of prayer. To where as soon as something comes our way, instead of panicking, we pray. The flesh panics, right? The spirit prays. And so that's something that we have. That's something a believer has, a tool in our pocket to pray. When challenges come, when difficulties come, stop and pray. Think about what Nehemiah did. I was just reading that the other day, what Nehemiah did. You remember when he came before the king? I think it actually is in our lesson tonight. That's probably why I was reading it, getting ahead of myself. But let's just continue along that theme. When we strive together in prayer, let me give you a few statements by way of introduction. When we strive together in prayer, number one, it's not number one in the outline, just giving you the introduction, we are striving together with God. We are striving together with God. What is prayer? Prayer is entering into the actual presence of God. Think about that. A holy God opens his door, so to speak, and allows us to come into his presence, not in our name, but in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Not in our righteousness, but in the righteousness of his Son. For you see, when we get saved, we get that robe of righteousness from the Son that we can go into the presence of the Father, and through his shed blood, we have that great access. In fact, in Hebrews, the Bible tells us in chapter 4 and verse 16 that not only do we come into the throne of grace, but we are to come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. Some needs were represented here tonight. Possibly there was some silent requests on your heart tonight. And when it came to prayer request time, you didn't raise your hand because there's a silent request. I want you to know that we can come boldly to the Lord. He already knows what your requests and my requests are anyway. And when we have a great time of need, that's the time we need to go to the Lord. That's the time we need to go to Him boldly. We're striving together with God when we pray. Number two, and by way of introduction, we're striving together with those we are praying with. You may have just prayed with somebody a few minutes ago, or you definitely, I know everybody in here has prayed with someone before. So what are you doing? You're agreeing together, you're striving together in prayer with that brother in Christ or that sister in Christ, and you're going again, united corporately, if you will, for whatever the request may be. We find that in Acts chapter 4, a group of people met together, and because of that prayer meeting, when they met together, the place that they were praying in was shaken. They had great boldness. Again, it's not of us, it's not our boldness, it's not our courage, but it's what God gives us. You meet with God in a real and tangible way, it'll give you the courage that you need for whatever is coming. Nothing can stand in the way of a Christian who's been meeting with God in prayer, in Bible reading, in praise, and in worship to Him. So we're striving together with God. We're striving together with those who we are praying with. Thirdly, we're striving together with those that we are praying for. You prayed for someone else tonight. I prayed with someone a few minutes ago, and that individual prayed for other people and other people's needs. And that's what we're doing as a church family. It's why we have a prayer page. If you're not on the church email list, I would get on the church email list just to make sure I have access to the church prayer page. It comes out every Wednesday afternoon. And we have it in paper. It's normally a few extra copies at the church on Sunday morning, but it goes out digitally every Wednesday afternoon. What is that for? It's so that we can, in an organized fashion, know how to pray for one another. So we're not only joining together in prayer with God, agreeing together in prayer with God, or striving together in prayer with one another, but we're striving together in praying and for those who we're praying for. James said it this way, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. James chapter 5 and verse number 15. And the Lord shall raise him up. So that's kind of an introduction when we think about our prayer. That we are, it's striving together with God, striving together with those we're praying with, and striving together with those we are praying for. Let's get into our text for a few minutes tonight, the time that we have left. Look at Romans chapter 15, verse 23. Again, let me just reiterate one more time, that prayer page is so important, because if you're like me, many times it's hard to remember all the requests. I know a lot of different people that pray, and they have journals, and they have lists, and I'm that way. My organizational skills are, I guess, average at best. I have little notepads and little things. They're all over the place. I know where they are, but if somebody else came in and looked at it, they might think, good night, what is going on here? I know where they are. It's okay. But I don't know how you pray and keep organized in prayer, but, you know, I want to pray in an organized way, in the sense of, yes, I want to be led by the Spirit in prayer, but I'm just saying sometimes I need a list. I need something to go on to keep me on track. And so that prayer page is there for you. Look at verse 23. But now, having no more place in these parts, Romans 15, 23, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Does this sound familiar to you? Think about where we've been on Sunday mornings. This really goes right hand in hand. This is that offering that Paul was taking back to the church at Jerusalem. That's what's being mentioned right here in verse 26. Verse 27, it hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. That's the offering. Verse 28, when therefore... I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. Okay, number one, the strategic travels of Paul. The strategic travels of Paul. Now, I'm going to go through this point a little bit faster than I normally do, because we've been covering the strategic travels of Paul on Sunday morning. And so, but it's interesting that we are now here on a Sunday evening. Letter A, Paul planned to edify the converts in Rome. He planned to edify the converts in Rome. We see that in verse number 23. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. Come unto who? The saints that were in Rome. That's who Romans was written to. Christians that were in Rome. And he had a desire to help them. In fact, he had a desire to help everyone that he came in contact with. Turn back to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. He planned to edify the converts in Rome. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 9. What we gain here is a little bit more insight into the heart of the Apostle Paul for the Romans. And I'm not talking about the Roman army. We're talking about the Christians in Rome, okay? Christians in Rome. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So here's Paul saying, I pray for you regularly. I pray for you. What did he pray for? To grow in grace, for God's protection. But I'm praying for you. Notice what he says. Making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. I'm praying that God would get me to see you safely. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. I want to disciple you. I want to equip you in the faith. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and of me. Anyway, think about that. That's the church right there. You have faith in God tonight, I trust, as a believer, and I have faith in God, and we're praying this year for stronger faith in God. But when we come together and we meet together, there is a mutual faith. The faith is what brings us together. The faith is what keeps us together. The faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. The faith of God and His provision. The faith of God and His salvation plan. So Paul had a great burden to edify those converts in Rome. Number two, or letter B. Paul planned to evangelize the citizens of Spain. So not just edifying the body, but preaching the gospel to the lost who were in Spain. This is, by the way, as we look at this, this is the purpose of the church. The church is to preach the gospel to every creature. But not only preaching the gospel, the church is to be equipping and discipling and edifying those that are already saved. And here we see Paul wanting to do that. Look at verse 24 of our text, Romans 15. Verse 24, he says, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. There was another region of the world that Paul wanted to visit, Spain. He wanted to get the good news of the gospel to them. In Romans 15 and verse 20, he said, yea, so I strive to preach the gospel, notice, not where Christ was named. In other words, Paul wanted to go where the Holy Spirit of God led him, and he had a great desire to take the gospel to a place where the gospel had not been preached at all or very little. I want to go and I want to take the gospel to those that are without the Lord, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. On his way to Rome, he was going to take the gospel to those in Spain. May God help us tonight in our journey. Maybe we're not on our way to Rome tomorrow, but we're on our way to work. We're on our way to school. We're on our way to pick up some milk. We're on our way to pick up an ice cream cone. Amen? Come on now. Now we're talking. But while we're on our way to do whatever it is that we're on our way to do, who's God bringing us in the path of? He's going to bring us in the path of probably someone who's not saved. He's going to bring us in the path of someone who might be hurting. He's going to bring us in the path of someone who might be searching for help, for truth. He's going to bring us in the path possibly of someone whose mother is praying for them, whose grandmother is praying for them, there's another church somewhere in Canada praying for this individual in the lower mainland, that they would hear the gospel, that their heart would be tender to the gospel, and they would be saved. And so while we're on our way to do all that we think we need to do, whatever day of the week it is, may God help us to have a heart for souls. May God help us to have a compassion for those whom we come in contact with. That's what we learned from the Apostle Paul. He wanted to evangelize anyone that had not heard the truth of the gospel. Letter C. So he wanted to edify the people that were in Rome. He wanted to evangelize the people that were in Spain. And letter C, he wanted to encourage the Christians in Jerusalem. And that's really what we've been learning on Sunday mornings, and that's what we learned even the last few weeks, verses 25 to 28. He wanted to encourage the Christians that were in Jerusalem. And one of the ways that they encouraged the Christians that were in Jerusalem was they took an offering from the churches that were in Macedonia. Gentile Christians taking an offering for the church in Jerusalem. Paul even said in Romans 1:14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul greatly desired for a strong bond between whether it was a Jewish Christian or a Gentile Christian, desired a great bond. So that's number one. And we kind of went through that quickly because, again, I think we spent quite a bit of time on Paul's travels on Sunday morning. So letter number two, verse 29. The striving together in prayer. Let's look at this verse 29, please. Romans 15, 29. I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. What a statement. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, here it is, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. That ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. How could the Romans support Paul in their prayers? How could the Romans, while they weren't with him, how could the Romans be involved in his ministry? In prayer. Tonight, we can only be in one place at one time, right? But we can be helping all of our missionaries that are spread out all over the world as we strive together, just like Paul said, as we strive together with them in our prayers to God for them. We can't go to the foreign field tonight. It's impossible. We're here. We can't be there and here at the same time. But as we go through that prayer page and we see all of those missionaries and all of the families that are striving together and preaching the gospel, when we are going to God on their behalf, we are there in Liberia with the Reimer family, praying for them. They want to be back in Liberia. We are there with the Freidenstein family down in Central America. In El Salvador. We're there with the Tate family in Honduras. And we're there with the Oishi family in Japan. And you can name all the countries. And you can go, you can have a worldwide ministry and not leave your living room. And how do you do that? You do that, as Paul said, in prayer. And by the way, that is a vital ministry. Every missionary would tell you, and they've told us, haven't they? Please pray for us. Please pray for us. And I want to say I'm so thankful to be a part of a church that prays for the missionaries that we have and that God has allowed us to have in here. But here's Paul saying, you can help me in a great way. You can help me through your prayer. Let me give you three principles that Paul gives us regarding their prayer for him. Letter A. Paul had confidence in answered prayer. Isn't that why we pray? I mean, we pray because God says to pray, but we're praying to get an answer. We're praying for God's will, right? And that's really the answer we're looking for, but we're praying for an answer. As Paul wrote this letter, he was confident in God's ability, and he was confident in God's willingness to answer prayer. Look at verse 32. That I may come unto you with joy by the, what? Will of God. You see, that's the whole picture of prayer. We're seeking God's will to be done. God, we bring our requests to God, but we bring it in and seeking the will of God. I just want to ask you, don't answer it tonight out loud, but think about it with me. Do you believe prayer works? That's what Paul is saying here. God is working. Keep praying. He had confidence in answered prayer that God was going to come through. If Paul was convinced that something was God's will, and other believers would bind together in prayer and seek God, in Paul's mind, it was as good as done. Because God does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. If we say prayer works, and I want to encourage us tonight, let's pray more. Let's pray more. During a time of great drought, a Scottish preacher by the name of Dr. Guthrie, time of great drought, prayed for rain. Prayed for rain. Isn't it amazing? In the last 4 months, we prayed for rain, and then we prayed for it not to rain. Amazing. But Dr. Guthrie prayed for rain. In fact, he prayed for rain at church in the morning. And that afternoon, his daughter Mary said, "Here is an umbrella, Papa." Dr. Guthrie, of course, doctor, I guess maybe a theology of some way, so, you know, sounds really fancy, doesn't it? He said to his daughter, "What do we need it for?" His daughter said, "Well, you prayed for rain this morning. Don't you expect God will send it?" And so on his daughter's advice, they carried the umbrella that night with them to church, later that afternoon with them to church, and when they came home, they were glad to take shelter under it from the drenching storm. Do we expect God to answer? That's what we're saying. Paul said he had confidence. Look, my confidence is not in my prayer, but my confidence is in the God who I'm praying to. My confidence is not in my resume, whatever that looks like. My confidence is in his resume, which is completely faultless and completely full of all power. That's where our confidence is. I love 1 John 5. Would you turn to 1 John 5, please, verse 14. And this is the confidence. I'll give you a second. 1 John 5, 14. I love that word confidence. I've watched different basketball games and sporting events, and the commentators have said sometimes about sports athletes, boy, they look like they're really confident tonight. An analogy in basketball is, it looks like, the way they're shooting tonight, it looks like they think that they could throw it in the ocean. Basketball hoop is not the size of an ocean, by the way. It's about yay big around. But they're so confident, it just looks like they're shooting into the ocean, meaning I'm not going to miss. And God's saying that's how we should come to him. This is the confidence, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in him. Is your confidence in the Lord tonight? Oh, keep your confidence in him. He'll never fail you. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Confidence. Paul had confidence in answered prayer. Andrew Murray, a man who has written much about prayer, said, "One of the terrible marks of the diseased state of Christian life these days is that there are so many who are content without the distinct experience of answer to prayer. They pray daily, they ask many things, and they trust that some of them will be heard. But they know little of direct, definite answer to prayer as the rule of daily life." It's like this, when we pray sometimes, the attitude is, we're not saying this, but the attitude might be something like this: "Well, I hope God, you'll do it." That's not confidence in God. That's not what it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. That's not what it says in Hebrews, where we can come boldly into the throne of God. We're not coming to ask amiss. We're not coming to ask so that we can have riches or whatever it may be. No, we're doing spiritual business with God and interacting with a holy God. And Paul said, "I'm confident. I'm confident in answered prayer." Letter A. Letter B. Paul had a concern for fervency in prayer. Fervency in prayer. The word strive is listed in verse 30. The word strive. It says, Jesus spoke in a similar way in regards to importunity. importunity. It's in Luke 11:8. I'm going to flip over there quickly. Luke 11:8. In Luke 11, we see part of the model prayer. You see that in verses 1 and onward, verse 2 specifically. Let's look at verse number 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, you can just picture this, right? He's in bed, it's midnight, and you're knocking on his door. Hey, I need some bread. I need something for my friend who's come. I don't have any food left. I need something to give him. And he says, from within, he says, trouble me not. Go home. The door is now shut. The pantry's closed, right? I can remember that many times, you know, mom would make a meal, or my wife as well, and, you know, she's worked hard and worked hard and worked hard, and you know, the meal is gone, and everything's been consumed, and, you know, when you've got, I had 2 brothers and a sister, and, you know, us 3 brothers, I mean, I guess we had a hole in our leg or something, because, you know, half an hour later, you're back in the kitchen, and it's like, okay, what's the, I remember hearing this, it's closed, out, goodbye. You just devoured all this food. What do you mean you need something else? This guy at midnight's like, no, the pantry's closed. Go to 7-Eleven, right? No. He said, the door is now shut. He says, my children are with me in bed. It's out. We're done. We're gone. We're tired. We cannot arise and give thee. Verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, not because he's his friend and not because of the great need necessarily, but it's because he keeps asking. He keeps going. Because of the importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. That's striving in it. That's the... When we read in the Bible, was it Matthew 7:7? Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened. The verb tense of those words, ask, seek, and knock, isn't just one time. It's ask, knock, knock, ask, seek. Just keep going. Just like the story there of someone who loses a coin and sweeps and sweeps and sweeps until they find it. Maybe tonight you're praying for someone who's not saved. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. Keep asking the Lord, soften their heart, break their heart. Bring them to humility that they have to bow the knee and come to know Christ as Savior. That's what we see here, the confidence, but also the fervency in prayer. It is not a mundane religious exercise. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is not just, you know, and again, I'm not making fun, but now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. You know, those are all whatever, but that's not the kind of prayer we're talking about. We're talking about like one of the prayers I heard earlier today, and I won't embarrass anybody, but I heard someone pray today, and basically they just said, dear God, it's me. And he gave his name, your son. And then he went on to pray. You know what? That's how God wants us to come to him. We are his son, if you're saved. We are his daughter. We are his child. And we come to him in a personal way. And it's in a fervent way. Prayer. Prayer is eternal. Prayer is serious work.